Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you to believe.
The Lord doesn't need a whole lot of people.
He just needs some who believes. Well, perhaps for the tape, I'd better read off some scripture references. You may want to mark them down. I'm not going to read them. I am not clear if I will even get to this subject, but they are Hebrews 2:12 and Psalm 12:31, Colossians 2:15, Galatians 6:14, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Romans 8:3, 1 Peter 2:4, Isaiah 53:6. Next is Galatians 5:24, Galatians 2:20, Romans 6:6, and Colossians 1:20. I only have two verses that I'd like to read. They're Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have a high priest who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. I'll read it again. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. I'm going to read this. I know you can quote it, but I'm going to turn to it, and I'm going to read it. Oh, well, I might as well read another one while I'm at it. In John 1:28, and these things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, by the way, that day was the day that John had said that he was not the Son of God, and that he pointed out Jesus as the Lamb of God. I believe that took place on that day. No. Okay. Verse 28. The next day, he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus, verse 29, coming to him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him, but in order that he might be manifested in Israel, I came baptizing in water. And John bore witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and remained upon him. And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said, He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Now, verse 35 is the next day, which is the third day. Again, the next day, John was standing and two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. They just followed him. Followed him, and they just followed him. And Jesus turned and beheld them following, and said to them, What do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, Come, and you will see. They came therefore, and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. for it was about the 10th hour. They spent the rest of the afternoon and the evening with him. And here's the verse I was going to read a moment ago.
For God so loved the world
that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There was God, there were angels, and later there was man. God couldn't reproduce and didn't have a counterpart. Angels had no gender and had no problem. Man could not reproduce and had no counterpart. Man could not reproduce and had no counterpart. Because he was made in the image of God, but they were both a heap. When God created the universe and he began creating living things, everything that was alive, I have said in the past it reflected God and showed something of God and told us something about God and was some picture of some aspect of God. Everything in creation, everything especially that lives in creation. I'm going to revise that. And I'm going to say that everything in creation,
not only showed some aspect of God,
but also showed some aspect of his longing for what he wanted but did not have. Now then, when God made man in his own image, it was like God took a mirror and looked at himself, and he began creating man. I tell you, brothers, God has emotion. Do you know that?
God has will. God has mind. God has feeling. God made this man in his image.
And he raised him up out of the dirt. One of the things that that creature has that no other creature had was the capacity to love another, or just say, the capacity to love. Those are the only two creatures in the universe who could love. Then, God made this man live. God was spirit, man was soul. But that soul was a reflection of God's spirit. And deep within God's being, there was life and light and reality. What else loved it? God was young. What else did we leave out? His very essence. Seems like I'm still leaving something out besides that. He was alone. And his love.
God was love, but he was also singular. I said that he was power, and behind that love was all his power. And what a frustration to be so totally God, so totally powerful, and no place for love to go. And God made man, and God put every feeling and sense that God had into man, and he waked man up, and man stood a living soul. And brothers, man had the same frustration God had.
Man had the capacity to love on the level of the soul, and there was no one to love. And God left that way for a while, and I tell you, I'm glad he did. Really glad he did.
And Adam walked around on this planet for a good long time with this aloneness. I tried to describe to you the other night how alone he was by talking about that man who went around the other side of the moon alone in that capsule. He was 6,000 miles through the center of the moon, 6,000 miles away from the next living human being.
Adam wasn't that close to a living human being anywhere.
He was so unutterably alone. A whole planet was his.
And he didn't have anybody to share with.
He had no one to speak to. He had no one to utter his thoughts to. But most of all, the driving capacity to love within him had no place to go.
And then God did what to Adam must have been a cruel thing. He asked him to bring all the animals, past, and name them. And Adam looked at the living creatures. All the living creatures in the universe are on the earth, other than those that are in the heavens, and they're only the angels and God, so they were all there. The frustration Adam must have had when he watched them come by. There was a lion. And beside him, was there a lion?
No.
No. But there was something like a lion. And Adam probably looked at it as it walked by and tried to figure out, what is that? It's not a lion. That lion is like me, but what's that beside it?
Here came a deer. There was the stag, and there was the doe.
Here came the sheep, and you must help me. There was the ewe, the ram, and there was the ewe. And each one came by. And there were always two, and he kept looking.
And they kept coming by, and the animals got progressively higher and progressively higher. And I'm sure he just kind of kept looking, hoping. Maybe something like him, but not quite him,
would come by. And they were all gone. And it was a sad hour. It was sad for man, because man was alone, and he understood he had some sense of the aloneness of God.
Well,
brothers, God foresaw something in what he did with Adam. He put in sleep. And he brought out of Adam part of Adam.
And out of Adam, he made Adam I. He made not another Adam. Praise the Lord, brother. Not another Adam. The other night when I mentioned this, I was laughing so hard you might not have heard what I said. Here's essentially what I was trying to say. If God had presented to Adam another mess,
Adam would have gone into a mad rage and said, take him back right where you got him and give me back my rib. God wasn't interested in another man. It was something slightly different, but the same.
What God had to do was to put this man
to sleep and draw out from him a rib and make a counterpart to Adam. I made a mistake the other night. I have to apologize. I was wrong. I was utterly wrong. God took that rib out of Adam, and he brought the rib over here, and he began fashioning that rib. And he brought that rib up.
And you know what he did, Lil? He made it out of Adam, not out of the earth, but he brought it up and stood it there.
And brothers and sisters, I'm guessing, this is not in the Bible, but I'm guessing. I am guessing that he had her stand there alone
Plus humor. And let Eve look around for her counterpart. And I suspect that God let Eve feel that same alone. And I suspect he left her feels that sent a log within her deepest being and no place to go. I think I made a mistake. Brothers, I believe that when God wake Adam up and the two saw one another, I believe it was the woman who broke out running first. You know why? It was because in having taken her out of Adam came a soul, a body, spirit, and that longing, yearning to be loved and to love. And it beat with an ease as strongly as it beat with an app. And when she saw Adam, remember they were in a pure state. When she saw Adam, she loved him as much as he loved her. For she had his law with her, as intent as the law that's in him. You understand? Later, I'm going to prove that he embraced that. I'm going to prove it.
I'm going to prove it from the Bible. I don't know when I'll get to it, but I will prove.
God begins a type.
God had a plan for this race. God was going to satisfy his own need through this creature he had made called man.
I've said to you many times, God never intended for there to be a creature called man as we know him today.
I think you all understand that, don't you? Everybody who does not understand that, will you raise your hand?
Don't be timid. God made man with one part left out, and he intended for that part to be inserted before the fall. Though it would be no fall if that part were inserted. But instead, man fell with a part left out, and a creature came upon this earth whom God had never planned.
Fallen man without God's Spirit. Now then, even though we get redeemed today, still we are not quite what God
had planned originally because of the fallenness of it. This thing right here is corrupted. So man fell.
And this didn't disturb the Lord too much.
The Lord knew he was going to have a counterpart someday.
Do you think God can be stopped from having the counterpart?
Do you?
Yeah.
Can't be stopped.
No way. No way.
Well, God gave a type, the Old Testament type, to impress Isla Vista. Did you get impressed the other night, even a little?
I want you to know something. I have been in many, many kinds of meetings in Isla Vista. But the meeting we had last night was, the last meeting we had was very dear to me. I saw brothers and sisters handling things deeper and more meaningful than I've ever heard them handle before.
There's never been a meeting when I've heard brothers and sisters handle things the way you handle those.
As far as that goes, I wish the brothers and sisters who meet here now, who met in this very place 2 months ago. That's us. could have attended the meeting last night. I think you would have been overwhelmed at what you heard. I really believe that. Did you understand that? Okay. Hugh could have been put in a time capsule and brought 2 months ahead, Brother Seal, and listened to the brothers talk tonight. You would have been impressed with your brothers even 2 months ago. There's been so much that's happened in the last 2 months.
Well, brothers, there are these things I would say about the type. God took a corporate people, and said to them,
well, let's use it from our viewpoint. Here will be a picture of my bride. It's amazing that from Genesis 2, you have to go all the way to Deuteronomy to find the heart of God. And you find it in Deuteronomy 6. And what does it say?
Tell me. Well, let me a little better quote it. Can you quote it?
Do we know it? Is the thou or the you, it doesn't matter. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart,
with all your soul, and with all your might. Okay, drink.
Love the Lord with all your being. You know you didn't know what that meant 2 months ago.
Well, just some feeling of, you know, love the Lord. No, that's not what it says, brothers. When you get the passion of it,
to love him with all your heart,
with all your soul, and with all your strength or your mind. Love him that much. Tell me, have you ever actively
loved the Lord? That entails it. Have a people who obey the first commission. Now the Lord said that if you'll do this one, all the rest of them are in submit. On this one hangs all the law and all the prophets.
That's incredible. Brothers, the Lord would have had himself a ball. Did you ever get to read Ezekiel 16, all of it? How many of you read all of Ezekiel 16? I ask you. You have some impression of what God had. I talked to you, the problem he had. I talked to you the other night and said, if there's a really good man and a handsome man, does he deserve a beautiful wife and a pure wife? Did Adam deserve Eve? Did Abraham deserve Sarah? Help me. Did Isaac deserve Rebecca? Yeah, I've forgotten her name. No. His first wife, Michael. He deserved her. She was a very beautiful woman.
Does God deserve a beautiful counterpart? Does he deserve a pure woman?
Did he select her? Did he fall in love with her? Why did he fall in love with her? Because he loved. Now, is that true? Are we on scriptural ground there? We read it in the Bible. He fell in love with her because he loved her. I'm seeing everybody around here who's married now. Just about everybody around here fall.
But you watch people
Why does the brother love the sister?
Because he fell in love with them. Did he intend to? No. Did he plan to? He just fell in love with the...
And what did Israel do? What did this beautiful girl, this love of a girl, do?
She turned to other love. She even took the gold and the silver
that enhanced her beauty. And what did she do with it?
She made idols and she gave it to the others whom she loved.
God beheld it with his own eyes. He watched the drama unfold. He watched her turn away from him.
Did he not? He saw it. He felt it.
His heart broke over it. He watched Israel, which was a picture for us, a type for us, go into unmentionable thing. Tis a clue, yes, but brothers, the first night, will everybody please remember that I said after this point, no one will understand what I'm saying. I won't understand what I'm saying because I have to employ human words to express a divine thing. Nonetheless, this thing that was happening between God and Israel was primarily spiritual. Even though it was physical, it was primarily spiritual.
I've been tempted just to take two or three ugly nights and talk about what Israel did and go through all the verses.
She went back and had commerce with Egypt. She went back and had relationships with Babylon. Out of Zoom she came.
She picked up the ways of those whom God saved her from.
And I had thought about mentioning things like that in relationship to the 20th century, and then I said to myself, no, Jean Edward, you are going to stick with the truth
and not with the law. I give you the truth, both.
God watched that day. He watched happen. He watched the immorality. He watched the turning away from him.
Who did Israel turn away from? She turned away from the most beautiful, capable, attractive lover of all time. Israel, rather than marrying God, and that's what God said, that I would make you my bride.
She actually chose between fallen man and God.
And so, fallen man, gone false. Brothers, Alan mentioned the book of Malachi earlier, that we get the last glimmer of the glimpse of the picture. I really appreciated that.
Malachi ends the picture. Falling off. And now I come to a point of feeling so helpful.
Because I have to move from pictures to reality.
How can I do?
Well, first of all, I want you to know that God is still spirit.
Man is no longer man, but he has fallen.
This thing right here has been greatly damaged. The flesh, the body God gave Adam is no longer the body, it is the flesh. This
creature whom he once would have had for his counterpart has fallen so low.
There is a glue covering the entire plant. Brothers, has God ceased loving? Did God cease loving Israel when she fell in sin? God did something opposite from man. What would a man do who had done all that God had done for Israel if he had seen her turn away?
He would have left her. God chastised her.
But then, having chastised her, he said, I can't do this anymore. You will yet be mine.
God's passion kept on driving him. He still loved.
Now, we come to reality. I want to ask you a question. The last thing we see in the Old Testament is Israel, a fallen woman whom God says he'll still love and make his blood. I ask you again, does he deserve a pure woman, a beautiful woman? Yeshua. But Israel, our last glimpse of her is not too good. Where is God gonna get his real wife? Where?
Out of himself, yes, but not totally, because he is spirit.
Sister, you remember the first night we said there's something about God limited. He couldn't have a counterpart being spirit. He wasn't divisible as spirit, okay? Where would God get his walk? Brothers, one day his eyes looked at something and his eyes could take it all in. And he could see it. Bald, thinful, even wicked. But the passion was it. And he would go to no end, to no limitation, to have his bride. He looked at something and beheld it, and a passion burned in him. A law burned in him. What was it, Nahum?
For God so loved the world. For God so loved me. Where could he get a wife except out of fallen man?
He could get a wife nowhere else. There was not one creature who had survived the fall.
It was from the world.
He would get her. He would go into the streets of sin. The world. Do you know what this means?
The world. What is the world?
It is a
illegal marriage. A not proper marriage.
The righteous, holy, pure God had but one place to go and get a wife. Where is it?
From what?
While, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, brother and sisters, I am now really bald.
Yeah, I hope you can see that.
God comes to get us by. Man. Here is God, and he has finally said, the hour have arrived. The real, true hour have come after all eternity and thousands of years of time. I've come to get my wife. Ye never heard a love story like that. He was still spirit, invisible, unseen, unknown.
If you gave me one solid year and met here every night, I could not describe
to you the end of what it means to be an incarnate.
I think one of the most powerful things I ever heard in all my life was a sister in Tyler, Texas, was talking about the incarnation, and she said that would be like man becoming a roach.
There was desperation in God. This was not the one he had planned.
Why did... Is this where he had planned to get his wife? From this fallen race that had done this terrible, illegal thing? No. But the love and the desire to accept that love, to have one whom he could love, drove him.
Brothers, I want you to know something else, that when he got here, he was still determined to have one as beautiful as he had ever planned before.
Boy, I just,
look at God. God is spirit.
He didn't answer the fact he was God one bit when he became man. All that God was, all the emotion, all the feeling, all the purity, all the eternal wisdom, all the infinite experience, all the light, it was all still there with the love. And now it is in high the form of human.
The Lord Jesus Christ stepped out of the banks of the Jordan River, and the Holy Spirit descended on him, and the Godhead rested totally in him.
I want you to know that as she walked up out of those banks, he were young, and he were attractive. He had all that God was in love in him, plus all that man had in him.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it? He was alone again. Do you understand? Was he God? Was he man?
No. No. Had God been alone?
All alone?